there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 453. This is the muddled edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully you are having a fantastic week. We got plenty of stuff to go through here today, so I did want to get right on down relatively quickly so we're not going to spend nearly as much time dawdling as we usually did. There's a couple little tiny pieces of news and information that you kind of need to know right up front and on the forefront. First of all, if you're going to be in the Philadelphia area October 2nd and 3rd, I am once again shilling for PodCamp Philly. It is a fantastic new media unconference. If you have no idea what that means, don't worry. Most of the people who go there don't either. It's not a buzzword compliant area. It's for people who like and enjoy listening to, creating podcasts, working on blogs, doing all that kind of fun stuff that people do online. And it's a way to either learn about how to do it yourself or just find out and be a fan and kind of get more involved with different things. It's a really fun environment, and I gotta say, I happen to enjoy going back to work an extra 2 days that week, which is saying something. So it's pretty cool. You can head on over to podcampphilly.com, register. It is literally peanuts when you compare it to any of the other conferences that are out there. It's only $20, and that's pretty much basically to make sure that people actually show up if they register to say that they would. So, all right, hope to see you there. If you're going to be there, please drop me a line at caffeination@gmail.com. Being that this is the Caffeination Podcast, you can find the website over at www.caffeination.com. I am on call for the baby tonight, so in case I rush away and there's a long extended silence that I forgot to edit out, now you know why. We're trying to switch off. The wife's back at work now, so we're trying to switch off, going back and forth to see who has each night. So far, so good. It's worked out all right. We have a ton of really cool, interesting things, except there's one unfortunate thing that I think I'm going to have to break here. I think I might actually be modifying the Caffeination Podcast schedule for probably the first time in 3 years. I can't hack it anymore. I think that we're going to slow down the show to just a once-a-week show. So every Wednesday, I'm going to try and record the best possible episode that I can. The Sunday night show, for some reason, it's either the lack of research that goes into the days leading right up to. I usually don't spend too much time on the computer at all on Saturday. I mean, even at night after everybody's gone to sleep, nor Sunday. So I don't ever have the proper time to do due diligence to the research. And I think I'm just going to, I need to take a little bit of a step back. So dropping the podcast down to once a week is really going to help me out. I'm going to spend more time focusing on the family, more time focusing on sleeping a little bit at the beginning of the work week. Because, hey, I mean, I'm not sleeping on Wednesdays anyway. Who sleeps on a Wednesday? And I'm perhaps going to be trying to write a little bit more often. So maybe I'll choose that to use that time where I would normally be recording, because I have the time available to record. I just don't have all the time available to research. Meanwhile, during the week on Monday nights and Tuesday nights, after everybody goes to sleep, there's not much else to do other than surf the internet. So it's like, okay, yeah, I can peruse the interwebs, see what we got going. So I think, unless you hear different from me, if there's a Sunday episode that comes out, we'll consider that a special edition from now on. But I am going to guarantee that the Wednesday shows are going to go off as planned. I would like to eventually get back to doing the Wednesday live broadcasts. That's something I'd love to do. So as things settle down, we're going to be getting back into that. And then after, I guess, a couple months, we're probably going to pick up on the Sunday again. It's probably going to just be something that slowly weeds into it. We're also putting out the call again in case there's anybody who's interested that I accidentally misplaced your email or anything like that. If you'd like to try and write for the Caffeination, if you'd like to try and share your opinion on different things that are either coffee-related, tech news-related, or both, hey, come on, this could be fun. Let's just see where it goes, if there's anybody else out there who'd like to have their voice heard. That's about it. There's some absolute gems this week. I talked actually a little bit about one of the new initiatives that we're trying to do at work, so it's going to be kind of interesting to see what comes up on this show. And it's the quote that we have at the front is, "Of all the things I've lost in life, I miss my mind the most." It's probably one of the most lucid things Ozzy Osbourne ever said, even if he ever really said it. But we're going to dive right on into the rest of the meat and or the potatoes here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully that the announcement's going to be will go over okay. I'm a little bit nervous about changing anything. I don't like changing things, so gotta do what you gotta do. All right. Would like to make mention of the fact that The Caffeination is proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. Now, anytime I can avoid getting in my car, walking across campus in the rain or the wind or a hurricane or whatever else the nature may throw at you to go to a meeting, I do. That's why I started using GoToMeeting to hold my meetings online. Instead of wasting time and money sitting in traffic or getting drenched, I'm having productive minutes being used by other people. GoToMeeting, which is brought to you by the friends over at Citrix, is the easiest, most secure way to hold your meetings online. You can have your first meeting up and running in second. Everyone just goes to GoToMeeting.com and they can see your desktop on their computer screen. It's like you're sitting right next to them and everybody's huddled around a laptop, but you don't have to have elbow room available for coffee. You know what I'm saying? Now you can show them what you're talking about instead of just telling them on a conference call. So, I mean, it's just a really fantastic product. It's perfect for sales presentations, training sessions, product demos, whatever you want to do with it, you can. Plus, it's only $49 a month. It allows you to hold as many meetings as you'd like. It even includes phone and voice over IP conferencing free. So, I mean, that's not too bad for $49, you know? My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For this special offer, please visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all the crazy, cool, and fun stuff that we do around these parts. So I'd highly suggest you, join us from time to time, see what we got going on. There's a lot of really fun stuff, but we're going to dive right on into the actual meat of the show, because I did actually dawdle, even though I promised I wouldn't. 1,000 apologies. Social propaganda, it's a new thing I'm trying to work on in our labs at Temple U. Here's the problem, and I'm pretty sure this is for everywhere. No one reads any signs. No one reads the manuals that come with software. That's why they're all on the CDs now. Nobody reads anything, and it's a huge problem. I myself am guilty of it. I myself am guilty of asking the receptionist at a veterinary clinic or something like that, hey, so what am I supposed to do when there's a big sign right under it that says, please sign in and sit down? So everybody does it. The problem is, how do you, in a lab setting or in a educational setting, how can I threaten people, tell people that they got to do what they got to do, and try and get a little bit of a fun in it at the same point in time? I've been working on posters for the past 7 years working at Temple. I've had different posters, different informative things, some things that detailed every possible rule and recrimination that could possibly happen within the lab setting. Others that, you know, they went through and they listed things ad nauseum about the different things that you could and could not do. And you know what? I came to realizing nobody ever read anything. I even had, at one point in time, I just posted the website really big. That's all I did. Nobody even went to that. So I had to find a way to make not only the posters that we were putting up visually attractive, but also give a little bit of information. So I came up with the social propaganda idea. I talked a little bit about it a while ago, but I actually finalized the designs and they're hanging up right now. No word yet on the feedback, but we do have 4 propaganda style posters. One uses Mario, one uses a Goomba, the other two are using Godzilla and the Wolfman. That is Lon Chaney Jr.'s Wolfman. So if you head on over to the Flickr site, my Flickr set, you can see some of the other posters I've worked on. These are kind of cool. Mario has a little big thing. Says, do not touch the printers, the big gear symbol. One of the most explicit warning symbols that I've ever seen in manufacturing or anywhere else. There's 2 of them. The one is the corrosive one, where it shows you the person's hand, you know, or the silhouette of a hand and being eaten away by something poured out of a test tube. That people kind of get the gist of what you're talking about there. The other one for do not touch or gears within or whatever you want to say is a yellow yield sign or a yellow triangle sign with a hand being crushed in between 2 gears. People generally understand what those 2 mean. So if it's a vague threat that your hand may get crushed within gears, which is technically possible on a plotter, then hey, so be it. If people are looking at it because it's a 3-foot tall picture of Mario on a red and black and purple background, then okay. So we have the do not touch the printers. My favorite is don't feed the mushrooms, no food in the labs, a little Goomba stomping out on that one. Report problems before they get worse with the Wolfman, and no bigger in listing the things that people have to do to print with Godzilla, because, you know, he's a pretty big dude. So these are just inspired by the general propaganda theme that I've had running through a lot of the different PodCamp stuff. So if you'd like to see some more of the propaganda and the PodCamp things, then just let me know and I'll talk to you about that. But we are going to have a couple different posters that I'm working on right now. They're just in general. I'm thinking of social media propaganda kind of style posters. I don't know how detailed they're going to get, but I have a couple ideas that might be interesting. All right, human genome? Bah! Who needs a human genome that's over 27 miles long? How about the human body coded in HTML and PHP? That's right, it's a little bit on the goofy side, but it gives you the human bracket, then the head tag, the hair tells you where you're supposed to put the hair, align the ear to the left, align the other ear, eye to the right. It goes all the way down to a whole bunch of different things. It even gives you the yes, no, or maybe for the the female accoutrement on the top, and then when it gets below that, it just gives you underwear. So there's no other. It includes a private.php. So everybody has their own private.php. So nobody has to go in there. But it's kind of funny. So it also gives you a funny little tattoo on the one cheek, and then it gives you your sneakers and all that other stuff. So I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, and it get right down to the. Right down to some of the other stuff where the tummy and the t-shirts and the underwear and everything else. So it just seems kind of interesting and fun. So I just wanted to share it with the group, especially if there's any coders out there who can find something wrong with it. I mean, yeah, it's all meant to be well and good, but you know, nothing would be fun to put out on the internet if people couldn't pick it apart. You know what I mean? All right, speaking of picking something apart, have you ever had an earworm? Now, if you're not sure what an earworm is, it's a song you can't get out of your head. I never heard the term earworm except for about a year ago, and now I can't get that term out of my head because it is the absolute perfect term for what it is. It's a song that just eats its way into your brain and cannot get out. So there's now a website called Unhear It over at unhearit.com. It says, get that damn song out of your head. Apologize if that offends people, but that's just what it says. It says the song is apparently a random song and people have submitted through SoundCloud, and these are catchy jingles and tunes and everything to replace the catchy jingle or tune that's already in your head. So unfortunately, you walk away with a different earworm when you're done. Here's the problem. Of course, it's going to be DCMA'd into oblivion any time now, and the more you wait before you go over to Unhear It to actually check it out, the more often you're going to get this, the error that says this song is no longer available for streaming or something like that, because somebody said, oh, you know what, I actually own parts or pieces of that song. There's a lot of different mashups or anything like that, so I thought it was kind of fun. Here's the only problem with recording in the basement where we are right now. One of our cats is sick. It is currently confined to the garage. This is not a news story. So if you hear a little meowing in the background, it kind of like a metronome style meowing, that's what it is. Unfortunately, there's no way to avoid it. All right, the next little thing that we got going for is Remember Alderaan. We will never forget. For the true Star Wars geeks out there, they're selling bumper stickers for $3 that say Remember Alderaan with the Rebel Alliance logo right there. I think this is pretty funny, and it really kind of lets people know that you are that kind of geek. There's nothing else to say. $3 for a bumper sticker ain't too bad. Over at SpriteStitch.com, there's probably one of the most beautiful examples of stained glass that I've ever seen, and that's just because of what it represents. It has the Zork logo, the original Zork logo, which is probably one of the first computer games I ever got hopelessly addicted to. And it is done entirely in stained glass, which makes it even better because the logo itself, if you are unaware or unfamiliar with the game, you need to just search for Zork Z Machine, and you can play it online. It's iconic. It is unbelievable how robust it was even back in the day, so to speak. But it says Z-O-R-K. The O actually is covered by a door that appears to be opening, and there's light shining out from the O itself. That has been the logo forever and a day. The funny thing about that is it really works well with a stained glass setting. So I can't believe nobody's ever done this before. The only thing is there doesn't seem to be a way to buy one of these. However, I'm looking at this and saying, man, I wonder if I could implore upon my father to actually create one of these, because it is unbelievable. I don't even know where I would put it, but you know, my dad does stained glass. He does unbelievable, awesome work. I've just never worked with him on a geek-inspired piece, so we might have to go down that road sometime in the future, because that would be just all kinds of cool. And then I know where to submit it, because I can submit it over at Sprite Stitch to get a little bit of views on it, because it's just that cool. So Zork, stained glass, tell your friends. All right, next little thing also from Sprite Stitch is a Bowser trophy mount. Now, this is made entirely out of paper mache. Now, if you ever made dioramas back in school, you understand how much of a pain in the rear end the medium actually is. It's really kind of hard to get the textures right. It's hard to get everything done the correct way, and it's really hard to shape it after the fact. So the fact that somebody actually made a recognizable bust of Bowser and a wall plaque to mount it on is just fantastic. So my hat's off to the people who did that. Next little thing, this is a little bit better craft wise but it seems to lack a lot in the implementation part. This is a giant coffee table that looks like a supersized Nintendo Entertainment System. I have no clue why you would do this. I mean, yes, if you actually shifted a couple of the things around, it would be fantastic. For some reason, they actually have it when it opens up the For some reason, they actually have giant controllers to go with it that apparently actually work and do something like that. But there's two power outlets to put the actual controllers in. All the buttons work. It turns it on. I don't even know if it actually runs some kind of NES emulator. I mean, that would be really cool. And somehow it had like a giant plug to hook up to a tiny TV. I think that would be even better. But I think something along the lines of this needs to be modified in the form factor, because the actual console itself was too chunky to be taken seriously as any kind of coffee table, at least for me. And that's somebody who would love to have this thing. I mean, there's so many things that I keep talking about on this show. It's like, you know what, I would love to have that. And then I look around the caffeination layer and say, I have no place to put that kind of stuff. It's the same thing with the Zork window. I would love it, but I would have to really kind of find a place to put it down here. I have two of my dad's stained glass pieces. One's in work and one's at home. The one that's at home's a dragon in flight, which is all kinds of awesome from when he was just starting out. And then he gifted me at Christmas one time a stained glass panel for my door in architecture. It's actually the footing. It's an elevation of the footing of a building. So it's really cool. But when you look at the different craft elements that are involved in making some of these, there's a little bit of understanding that needs to go into how something like this could be used. I mean, yeah, it's really cool to make like a design build project. It's like, hey, can we make a giant Nintendo Entertainment System where the buttons light up and all that stuff actually works? Yeah, sure, but how would you blow in it to make all the cartridges work? And could you imagine the cartridges? The cartridges themselves, even if you were able to supersize them, would probably be about the size of, at the very least, like a side table when you're fitting them in, you know, at least with the top of them. And they'd probably be about 6 or 7 or 8 inches high. And then you're going to sit there and try and kind of either jam a second one in there to keep it down long enough to use it, or who knows what you're going to have to do to actually keep it working. But my hat's off to the people who made these, but I just can't understand actually putting one of these anywhere. So now, from something where you don't know where to put it, something that's too awesome to actually stay hidden. From the fine folks over at Robosteel.com, they've actually used scrap parts from a whole bunch of other different pieces, as well as an old Camaro, to make a unbelievably cool scale model, I guess you could say, of Bumblebee from the new Transformer movies. Now, the only reason I say scale model is because in the movies, it's actually like, I think, 20 feet tall or something strange like that. But this actually looks like it is almost on par with those creations. And the best part about this is that I think they made it for Top Gear. I'm not entirely sure, but they said that this is not their first foray at Robosteel into actually creating Transformer-inspired sculptures. They actually did make a much smaller version of Optimus Prime. Again, it stands a little bit taller than the average person, but it's unbelievable in its detail and work. And I think what really sets these things off is actually the paint job. Because when you're looking at them, you're like, okay, I could see sort of an Optimus Prime kind of vibe going on, but the paint job really sets it apart. They have a couple that aren't painted, but they give you a little walkthrough on how they actually created some of the pieces of Bumblebee. So the only thing, as I'm looking at it, the only thing that really doesn't work are on the back. They actually have what I think is a muffler or something else, or they're just a bunch of hubcaps strapped together that are supposed to be the tire. And the doors look off. I mean, just so off that they're actually kind of cheap looking compared to the rest of the model. The rest of the model, like the legs, the armature, everything else is like dead on. Like you can see Michael Bay creating something crazy like this. But the doors and the faux wheels on the back just are a little too off to actually work. So I actually have a link to the Optimus Prime story as well as him being surrounded by booth babes. Apparently the Optimus Prime, which stands 2.5 meters tall, weighs in at a massive 550 kilograms. So I'm pretty sure that if they made the full like 30 foot tall model, they would have to actually like reinforce the floor under where they put it. That's not nearly as terrifying as the next thing. A life-size T-800 will terminate your home's decor. For somebody who actually wants to have one of these, this thing's roughly 6 feet tall and it's going to set you back around $6,000. So I'm not entirely sure why you would do that, but when you're really thinking about it, it's like, okay, this is a life-size sculpture from Terminator 2 Judgment Day. It is, you know, pretty detailed down to the little mechanical parts and everything, but they're only asking for $6,000 for this. Now, when you think about collectibles and you think about the size and what would be the weight, now, if it's not metal, I could understand it just being $6,000, but if this thing's metal and actually made to have any kind of movable or machined parts that allow it to have any kind of fluidity of motion, then $6,000 actually isn't a bad price for something like this, because I could see it actually, you know, parts and labor alone coming up close to that. So all right, then the last little thing that we got for you here on the Geekcraft section at the Caffeination Podcast is Trapped on a Boat, or Why I Will Never Go on a Cruise. Now, it's not that I'm terrified of being stranded at sea. If I actually was the captain of my own boat and I had the chance to sail all over the place, you know, I think at that point, if you're sailing all over the place, it's less a boat and more a ship. But if I either was the captain or I knew the captain personally, or it was like a family friend or something like that was actually, you know, sailing us around, I would be perfectly fine. However, if it's a large cruise liner with the... However, if we're talking about a large cruise liner, and cruise liners on whole, at least lately, have had very kind of shoddy public safety records. People have disappeared at sea, and there's like, oh yeah, you know, the cruise, nobody at the cruise is talking. It's like, okay, I don't think you understand here. Like, somebody disappeared overboard, nobody saw anything on your boat, this could be a slight problem. Or when they have just outbreaks of disease that seem to wreck the boat. Or people I've heard of who are on a boat trip from up here in Philadelphia down to the Bahamas, and the engine catches fire and they don't stop the boat immediately. I'm sorry, I guess something in my head doesn't click, but I'm sorry, engine on fire equals full stop, let's fix this before we move on. Not let's see if we can run into an iceberg on the way down. So all of that rolled up into the terrifying video that's actually listed over at device.com of people who just do not know how to stow gear. Now, I guess I never really thought about it, but you would think that if you're on a cruise ship, even one that's massive and carrying somewhere around 1,700 passengers and what appears to be 671 crew, that a massive crew liner would like this would either be able to weather the storms, they would either be able to avoid the storms, or they would have the thing stowed and locked down to the point where it would be like, okay, yes, I understand. Yes, the ship's tilting, but nothing's really too bad's going to happen. Well, this video shows 20-foot swells and a 60-mile-an-hour winds attacking a vessel, but you only see it from the internal bars. So you can see people and equipment sliding all over the place in very rather convincingly terrifying form. And that what's truly troubling, not the fact that you see the same person in the striped shirt sailing back and forth on this video multiple times, but the second clip inside the video is actually of the hold. That's where they have like the forklifts and the pipes and everything else, and they are literally flying all over the place and destroying things. I'm sorry. Yeah, I could see almost not having the dining room tables and everything, you know, bolted down because, hey, you know what? This is also a dance floor. I could probably engineer a couple ways around that. You know, hey, just why not have tables that click into the tiny little grommets in the floor? And it's like, and then you're fine. But, you know, that's just me. Moving beyond that, down in the storage area, like, especially if you have things like vehicles, like a forklift. Forklifts are not something you trifle with. You lock them down tight when you don't want them to move on their own. Especially when you're on a ship, which has the ability to tilt left, right, back, forward, and all other kinds of ways. I don't care how big it is, there's bigger waves. All right, the next little thing that we actually have for you is a quick addendum to the Geekcraft section. Tractor beams are now a real existing thing, according to the fine folks over at Device.com. They actually they're not to the scale where they're going to be able to, you know, dock a starship or prevent the Millennium Falcon from escaping or anything like that, but a device shining a hollow laser beam through a tiny glass particle is able to actually heat the particles up and pull them back towards the middle. So technically, it's bringing things back to it. So it's not going to, you know, you're not going to be able to, you know, launch it up and steal things out of somebody's yard or anything like that, but the technology is there and it's on the way. So that's kind of a fun and cool little aside. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Geekcraft section of the Caffeination Podcast. We got a little bit of fun stuff in the food and caffeinated bits, and then we will head you out on your way. Just a reminder, any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, please feel free to email me at caffeination@gmail.com. Twitter.com/caffeination is me. The phone number is 215-240-1319. We actually now have a Facebook like button on the actual posts themselves. If you like that but don't want to like the button, that's perfectly fine. You can just email me and say, hey, I like the page, but I don't like the button. That would be kind of funny, but yeah, I'm just looking for a little feedback on that. It says, all right, food caffeinated bits. What would you have to pay to give up coffee for a month? Well, the fine folks over at DailyShotOfCoffee.com, specifically Mike Crimmins, is actually trying to just put this idea out there. Not that he's actually going to be paying people these amounts, but if you had to give up coffee for an entire month, what would you do? I mean, entirely, not a drop to drink. You know, coffee everywhere, not a drop to drink. Would it be $30, a dollar a day, $300, $3,000 or $3 million, or it ain't happening? Now I'm looking. Currently, it would probably be it ain't happening. I have a baby that is up at all different crazy hours of the night, and I'm just not going to play with that. I would say, you know what? The 300 or the 3,000 would be more than enough to probably normally get me to not drink coffee. But does that mean no caffeinated products at all? Does that still count espresso? Because despite the fact that people seem to think espresso beans and coffee beans are two different things, they're the same thing. So just if I name it something different, so does that mean I can have a latte but I can't have a coffee? Or are we talking all caffeinated products entirely? Are we talking bottle teas or regular tea? I mean, just the world needs to know. But I still love the thing, so I wanted to kind of share it with the group. Hopefully you head on over there and vote. Tell me what you think. All right, next little thing up here is, now you can get a little bit of a retro love for trash nostalgia. How would you like to open up your bottles with a pull tab bottle opener? This is something kind of interesting. These once ubiquitous pieces of detritus laying around on the ground, these you know, incredibly polluting and incredibly prevalent tiny little metal tabs. I mean, they were used in the movie War Games, something you can't find these things now, so it's actually kind of funny to see them actually being used as a plot device in the movie. But they're made out of hardened steel this time. They're bent around so you can actually use them like you would any other cantilever device to open up your soda pop, beer, whatever you have. So I just thought that was pretty cool and wanted to share with the group. It's not too much on the expensive side. It's $15. But when if you really have a hankering for some pop top beer opening, then this might be able to do you. Or, you know, you could just wait around a bar long enough and they, you know, Miller Lite and Coors Light and all the other really bad watery beverages have a tendency to give these things out. Not these things specifically, but the tiny little key fob bottle openers all the time, so you could probably get a couple of them in one night. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here is something called the Zero Gravity Coffee Cup from thatsnerdalicious.com. It's a coffee cup perched on its edge, so it's kind of a tippy tippler or a tilty tippler. And it's not even really a coffee cup, it's a demitasse sized glass. So, I mean, I'm willing to let bygones be bygones. It has all kinds of fun little physics equations on the side, and I'm looking at it going, yeah, okay, that's That's interesting. You know, I have shot glasses that do the same thing. It's not entirely new. So we did, however, talk about, at this point, 2 years ago, the 24th of November, 2008, we actually talked about the astronaut who invented a zero-G coffee cup. Basically, it's a plastic sleeve that, through the wonder of surface tension, you can pour hot liquid in there, and then it folds down to look like an airplane, so it actually allows you to sip out of these things in zero gravity, so you don't have to, you know, just pour the coffee into the air and try and sip the bubbles, or drink coffee out of a pouch, because nobody really likes to do it. So I got to thank Don Petty, or Petit, rather, for doing that. So this is actually the astronaut who brought his own stash of instant coffee up, because he didn't want to be without, and it's a little far to go from the International Space Station to the nearest Starbucks. That's one place they haven't totally colonized yet. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is just a kind of a fun little one-off. That's eating utensils that are shaped like tools. So you have an open wrench, a box wrench, a closed-off end on the box wrench, like the circular ratcheting ones, and then a screwdriver handle, and they're all, you know, knife, fork, and spoon. So I think these are really kind of cool. I might end up having to get these for my son, because they don't look to be too expensive. I mean, yeah, they're $20, so he might be able to use them for a long time. But, you know, this is just the kind of thing he would really think's neat. And if he's already playing with his food, why not give us some tools to do it? All right, next little thing we got up for you here is energy drinks are running out of names. Rage Inferno. These things are coming out now, and they sound like a teenager named them, you know, right after he got finished creating his character in D&D, like when he was like 14. Or, you know, they just sound like these angry, very adolescent names that I can't really pin down where they're all coming from and why they think these are all. Yeah, I get it. You know, caffeine, you're supposed to be amped up. You're supposed to want them all the time. That's all right. Understandable. I can see that, you know. You know, Sunday, we sell you the whole bottle, but you only need the edge. I mean, all that kind of fun stuff. I could really understand it. But the Rage Inferno really kind of caught my eye, not because of the bad name, but rather because of the actual industrial design of the bottle itself. It looks like a fire extinguisher. So apparently that was one of the comments from the fine folks over at Energy Fiend, that it was kind of weird to drink one of these walking down the street. They also said, unfortunately, the failure on the actual drink itself is that you can't just stand it on its end. It has a tendency to tip over. So I assume when they were talking about Rage Inferno, they meant people were irritated that this thing spilled all over their keyboards. But hey, you know. All right, next little thing here. Now, I already said in an article very recently that I wasn't going to just talk about random, this is good for you, that is good for you. But this is kind of an interesting read about alcohol. It's not about coffee, it says. Bad scientist says alcohol is good for me. Now, this is from over at Wired.com, where they're actually exploring why different studies are coming out to say that almost universally, the one outlier in all the different equations that people have seen when they're doing social studies based on alcohol and alcoholism is that people who drink have a tendency to live longer than people who do not. It's actually a measurable difference. And this article kind of goes into things ad nauseum and talks about a bunch of different studies, including some of the social implications that might be kind of masked by this. So, for instance, you know, maybe, you know, the social drinking aspect allows somebody to be more fulfilled in their life. You know, it allows them a lot more time out in the open. Or maybe it ends up having to be some kind of like hidden antioxidant or anything else like this. The entire article is hypothetical, but they really do a good job actually linking to a lot of the different studies directly, which is, you know, what I already told you I need. They have like the long-term effects and PDFs of loneliness versus, you know, having a more social setting. And they also have a bunch of rather gratuitous pictures of beer over there, so I wanted to just share with the group. And talking about fast food, how about not this fast? And this is not the Stig, but Perry Watt. Watkins drives a table at 130 miles an hour. He did average 113 miles an hour. This is a supercar engine basically built into a Queen Anne-style dining table. There's food on it. There's a guy who's dressed like the Stig from Top Gear, but is not the Stig from Top Gear, behind the table. So if you need some fast food, then you can look this one up. And that about wraps it up here today at the Caffeination Podcast. This has been episode number 453, the muddled edition. I'm incredibly sorry for all the different weird phobials that happened today, all the different odd things that I may have said or ways that were phrased. You know, I'm still trying to work through the whole sleeping thing and determine if it's actually something I need to do. But before a horde of Bond villains come down the stairs or the baby wakes up and starts crying, whatever the same odd job presents itself, then I gotta get out of here. So thank you ever so much for listening, people, and stay caffeinated.